Good to see you this morning. Good to be with you. God has certainly been gracious to grant us this Lord's Day together. The lesson I mentioned during the announcements is entitled A Daily Religion. And I was thinking about the passage in Hebrews while it is called today. You know, you and I can think of many things that we do daily. Some are things you need to. Some are things you want to, and some are things you need and want to at the same time. Some things you need to do daily, like take a shower, right? Brush your teeth. Change your clothes. I think my kids skip out on some of those needs every now and then. Some things you want to, maybe like read the paper. Go for a jog. Get on Facebook or some kind of social media. Watch some TV. Some of those things you may like to do or want to do. And there may be things, like I said, that you need to and want to, like eat, hopefully you want to and need to, and sleep, you know, drink, right? A cold cup of refreshing water is always beneficial. And really, that ought to be the category that religion fits into, a need to and want to. Where the heart is into its routine of serving the Lord. And you think about the need and the want. Jesus said of Himself that He was the bread of life, John 6. That He's the water of life, John 7. And in Him we can have rest and peace. We can sleep well, essentially. The needs and the wants are all found in Jesus Christ. Is your religion a daily religion? You know, religion has become a dirty word in this country, especially today. I almost think Billy Graham is the one that kind of started that that ball rolling, because he started to kind of put down the term religion and emphasize the term relationship, as if they were set apart from each other. You didn't hear of the phrase personal relationship really popularized until Billy Graham. But of course, it should have been understood that to be close to God is to have a relationship with God, but that also is a daily religion. Religion is not a dirty word, it's a Bible word. Religion just simply means a particular system of faith and of worship. In James chapter 1, notice James 1, verse 26 and 27, there James uses the word twice. James, who's writing to Christians. And he says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. So he's speaking about religion, a certain kind of religion. It must be pure, it must be undefiled. And he said it must be this, that you visit widows and orphans in their trouble. And keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's one's religion. And God says that that is a biblical word. It's not a boring word, even though that's come to be for many people. Religion is boring. It's because they lack reverence in their heart for God, the one who actually made them, the one who is their creator. It's more like the practice of brushing teeth. You know I need to, but I don't really want to. And if I didn't have to, I surely wouldn't. And so, some individuals will let a few nights slide by. I'm too tired to do it tonight. And that's sadly how many Christians will treat serving the Lord. They feel they need to, but they don't really want to, and so sometimes they just don't do. And that's one reason why religious attendance is at an all-time low across America. I mean, across the board, people are much, much, much less religious than they were, say, in the 1600s and 1700s. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, not even close. Not even close. You know, we had a meeting this past week. Daily, except for Saturday, we were meeting. Some of you came daily. In fact, I'd say most of you did. And I know a sacrifice was made. I know for some, they had to switch hours with coworkers. Some would stay late and go in early or whatever it could take for, so they could be able to be here. I know some actually just took off time from work. Now I know that some were sick daily. We had announcements, we mentioned you. But some just stayed home daily. Some made plans to do something different daily. Perhaps some just didn't care daily. Now, think about it. A lot of effort went into that meeting. Time, effort, expense. Some sweat went into that. A number of days we went on some very humid days to spread the gospel, to get individuals that are not members of the church, that don't know the truth, to be interested in the truth. And it's difficult when some members just didn't make the effort to come or even pay the common courtesy to let their brethren know why they would be staying home that day. So how is your religion? Is it daily? Let's look at the Bible and see that the Bible says there's some things that we ought to be doing daily. The first one is daily prayer. In Luke, the 11th chapter, Luke chapter 11. We need to get from our minds that the religion of Christ is a Sunday morning only religion. Sunday morning only. Just take the first letters of that and that means SMO. Right? Sunday morning only. S-M-O. Don't be a SMO. Alright? The religion of Christ is a daily religion. And here we see in Luke chapter 11 when His own disciples wanted to know how they ought to pray. The Lord said in verse 2, He said, "When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day," or day by day, "our daily bread." And so it was a common understanding that we would pray every day and pray for a number of things. Pray for our Father's will to be done. Pray for our daily provisions. I might pray for tomorrow's bread, but that'll be tomorrow if tomorrow is here. I will pray today for my daily bread while it is called today, as the sermon is entitled. We eat daily. We ought to pray daily for our food. It shouldn't be just taken for granted that we'll eat three times a day. I know we live in abundant America where that often is the rule. And yet we see the Lord says, bow in daily prayer. Now, verses 5 and following really emphasize this aspect of daily prayer and persistence in it. He continues this, the thought of food. Verse 5, he says, "Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on this journey, and I have nothing to set before him.'" Now, I'd say that's an inconvenient time to come at midnight. Indeed it is. And fortunately for the guy, it was his friend. You know, interestingly enough, on Friday night we had folks over and some didn't leave till midnight. And it was getting late. And we were starting to rub the eyes, a little tired. But they were our friends and we were glad to be with them. Now he goes on to say, verse 7, "And he'll answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of what? Of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs.'" So if that guy keeps knocking, keeps petitioning, "Come on, we need some bread for this cause. It's important." Eventually he will get up and just say, "Here's the loaves," and toss them as many as he needs. Now notice the connection. Verse 9. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened." So he says with the Lord, it's an abundant blessing to have to come before Him in prayer and to pray persistently. And if this guy who was a friend, who it was inconvenient for him to do that, then how much the one that has the resources of all the universe at his command, where nothing is inconvenient, will do for us? So I say to you, ask, he says. Daily, pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 17 and 18 says to pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How long could you go before it said that you have ceased in your prayer? You ever thought about that? Pray without ceasing. It's the idea that you're a person of prayer. You're praying all the time. Could it be say that you went a day without prayer? But didn't cease? Or 2 days? Surely, if you didn't pray for 2 days, you would have ceased in your prayer, right? But the Lord says, pray without ceasing. It ought to be a daily thing. Think of Daniel, right? In Daniel, the 6th chapter, here was a man who wouldn't stop praying, even though the law said you had to. It says he went as his custom was and threw open the windows and prayed before the Lord. That's a man that really believed that he needed and wanted to talk to God, right? Both need and want. I'm not going to let anything stop me, even if it means costing my life. In Psalm 55, verse 17, look at the psalmist's words. And I want to encourage you to come back tonight. We're actually going to look at a psalm. It's been like 6 months since we've looked at a psalm. That's going to be our study tonight. Psalm 55, verse 17 says, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Could that be said of you? Could those be your words as they were the psalmist's words? Morning, evening, and noon, I'll be praying. You know, because there's so much to pray for. There really is, isn't there? You can pray for the sick. They need your prayers. The weak. We need to pray for our children, pray for our neighbors, pray for our country, pray for our schools, pray for our daily bread, as the Lord said. Pray for our health, pray for our purity. Pray for our brethren here, pray for our brethren elsewhere. Pray for our Lord's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray for our forgiveness as we forgive those that trespass against us. Or even pray for little DJ, who will soon be leaving us, that some seed of faith has been planted in his heart. There's so much to pray for. You really can never run out of things to pray for. We need to talk to God daily. You know, the Bible tells us that our Father, our Heavenly Father, watches over the birds, and they can't pray to Him. Last week, a bird got stuck in our garage. We could hear it. We didn't quite know where it was. It was chirping. We eventually found it. And we try to gently help that bird out of the garage, chirping and chirping all the way. And I said, Penny was with me. I said, you know, God sees him. God sees that bird. Isn't it amazing to know that He told us that? And it's a reminder that He sees us, and we get to pray. He sees the birds, they don't get to pray, but He sees us and we get to pray. So how tragic is it then when Christians won't speak to Him daily? Look at another psalm, Psalm 88. Psalm 88 and verse 9. It says, my eye wastes away because of affliction. Lord, I've called daily upon You. I've stretched out my hands to You. Daily, He says, I've called to You, Lord. There's times when we're overcome with pain and sorrow and suffering, and we've got to go to His throne daily. And if it's already been a practice before the suffering, how much easier it will be to fall upon our knees and come before Him. James 5:16 says to confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What kind of prayer? An effective, a sincere, a genuine, and fervent prayer. That is a persistent prayer. Avails much. While it is called today, daily prayer. But also, we need to have a daily commitment. Look in Psalm 61. Psalm 61, verse 8. Psalm 61, verse 8, it says, "So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." What was a vow? A vow was a word of commitment, wasn't it? And the psalmist says, I want to daily perform those. When we give our word, we commit to something and we're expected then to perform it, right? You've committed to your work, whatever work that might be, whatever occupation that is. You need to be there for that. If you're a Christian, you've committed to the Lord. And you need to be obligated to His service as well. You might say, well, what about when those two things conflict? You know, a visitor was here on Friday and we were talking. We got into a conversation. I don't know how eventually we got into the conversation about missing services. And he told me, he said, you know, he learned really early, one of his first jobs. He says, I just tell them right at the beginning, hey, look, I won't be here when services are here. I'll be committed to work and I'll be here every time the doors are open except when the church doors are open. I'm going to be there. And they said, that's fine. Then he said, one day, they scheduled him on a Sunday. And he went up to them and he said, do you remember we talked about my commitment to the Lord and His church? And he said, no, I'm sorry, I don't remember that. They said, if that's the case, then I'm sorry, we can't use you. And he said, they let me go. You see, he had made a commitment in his heart. Daily he would perform his vows. And he understood that his vows to the Lord came first. Commitment. Now that wasn't the end of him. And if I mention this visitor, you know exactly who I'm talking about. He's a good man. He has a good paying job here in Franklin. The Lord's not forsaken him. The Lord has blessed him because he's put the Lord first. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it's exactly the formula the Lord set forth as disciples of Christ. He says, seek first something. Seek first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And he was talking about the provisions of life. These things will be added to you, but he says that you got to do something first. You got to seek me first and the kingdom of God, my righteous ways. You do that and everything will be okay. I'd say, well, that's stressful. It's stressful. You know, serving the Lord and serving my job. And I'm sure that is, because sometimes there's going to become these conflicting interests. What you have to remember is on that day when you came forward and you committed in your heart to the Lord to serve Him as your master, which means your king, the one who makes your laws. How crystal clear it was when you were baptized into Christ. In your mind, forsaking Him and not doing His will was the furthest thing away from your mind. You need to remind yourself of that. What happened at that time when it was so simple? Christ would be first. Commitment. However, you look at this verse here, and if you make the second thing first, the things to be added to you, if you make that second thing first, the first will go away. You won't seek first the kingdom of God. You've put other things ahead of it. Get the order correct. Daily perform your vows. Daily perform your vows. Now, I know right now politicians are vowing right and left, committing things here and there, committing everything, and hoping that you forget everything later down the line. Don't be a politician. Be a Christian. Right? Be a Christian. Daily perform your commitments. Further, we also need to have daily study and evangelism. Look at Acts, the 17th chapter. Acts chapter 17. Here you see a great example before us of people studying and people evangelizing. You got both. One passage. Acts 17:11, it says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and search the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Now notice in verse 10, it was Paul and Silas that were there bringing the word, bringing the message. And so they were daily preaching, daily evangelizing. Meanwhile, these individuals here in Berea were searching and studying daily. And so we have both within one passage. Now, I realize that's a hard one, right? Because it's going to require for you to find a little quiet time each day to read and then dig into what you read. Cross references, right? Meditate on what you just put into your mind. You know, most Bibles have those cross references right there. And it's almost like a study set up within your Bible. Verses that relate to the verse that you read. It just takes minutes to do, to turn over it. And all of a sudden, your knowledge in that passage has been enhanced. It takes a little time to do that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I want you to understand how important this is. Because 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You and I need to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Complete just on Sunday? That would seem absurd, wouldn't it? Coming to this passage with that mind, the SMO mind, right? A Sunday morning only. That would be absurd. I want to be equipped every day for every good work. And it's Scripture that gives that ability. In John, the sixth chapter, John chapter 6, the Lord said in verse 26 that they had began to put the second thing first. Remember Matthew 6:33, the second thing first? They began to put the second thing first. Notice John 6:26. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." The second thing. Verse 27, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." So essentially, get the first thing back in proper order. Study. Now, what is this food that endures to everlasting life? Well, at the end of his message, his lesson, verse 63, he says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." That's truly where you'll gain life-giving truths. The words that I speak to you. So Jesus said His words were food for the soul. Just like Matthew 4 and verse 4. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Look at Mark 14. Mark the 14th chapter. You want to help this church grow? Well, you do that by growing yourself, studying, and then using what you've studied with your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors. That will really help you grow. And it will also benefit the Lord's body with new converts. In Mark the 14th chapter, we see Jesus in verse 48 as He's about to be led away to be crucified. He answered and said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me?" Look at verse 49. "I was daily with you in the temple, teaching, and you did not seize me, but the Scripture must be fulfilled." He says, "I was with you daily." The Lord was practicing daily evangelism, wasn't He? And the church takes the torch exactly where the Lord hands it off. In Acts, the second chapter, Acts chapter 2, remember He was with them daily in the temple, teaching them? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, what does it say there? The early church, there's the beginning. "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple." What were they? They were doing exactly what the Lord would do. Teaching and preaching and edifying the body of Christ and evangelizing the lost. And there we see verse 47, "They were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. We might have more daily converts if we had more daily study and daily evangelism. Look in Acts the 16th chapter. Years from Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 16, there verse 5. They didn't just stop that practice, they kept it going. It says in verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. They were not a small Christian, were they? They were daily talking with their friends. They had to work. They had to provide a living just like you and I. But they were speaking about the words of Christ. They were absorbed the words into their lives. And so it was exuded in their everyday affairs and their actions. You know, there's so many opportunities. You and I shouldn't even neglect the opportunities that are at home with our children. Deuteronomy 6 says, when you lie down and rise up, that's essentially from beginning of day to end of day, he says. You share these things with your children. You know, in John the 5th chapter, John 5, there, the Lord put it this way. I thought it was interesting. In John 5, there was individuals that didn't receive Him. Why did they not receive Him? John 5, verse 38, He says, but you do not have His Word abiding in you. What a way to put it. Does the Word abide in you? The only way that happens is through daily perusing of it and meditation of it. In John 8, he said, he was my disciple indeed, right? He's the one who follows the Word, right? When the Word abides in you, you're my disciple indeed. Wow. I know we're so busy running here and running there. Helping the kids, running, you know, taking the kids to school, maybe picking them up from school. Then when they're home, helping them with the homework and then these extracurricular activities. And we can forget sometimes that a daily religion requires some daily study. You just got to make the time sometimes. And you know what? If you want to and need to, you'll do that, right? You will. And it'll have great benefits for you, your family, the church, and those around you. Just sometimes it takes a little time before you see the results. That's really how study is. Some are discouraged. They say, oh, there's so much I don't know. And so they don't even start. But it's like a snowball effect. The more you keep learning, it daily compounds. It takes some time and you'll see some benefits. It's kind of like eating healthy, right? It's hard at first, but when you get started and you start seeing the results, you see the pounds starting to fall off you, like, hey, you know what? I kind of look forward to that salad coming up. You know what? You look forward to it. That's the way study is. Until you dive in. Listen to sermons. Read material. Read the Bible. Go to gospel meetings. Read and study class material, etc., etc. And then you start reaping the benefits. You're like, wow, it's reshaping me. It's remaking me. You're losing the fat of the world and building up the spiritual muscle. While it is called today, we also need daily exhortation. Let's turn to Hebrews 3. Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, and we'll look at verse 13. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. Do you know, a daily exhortation is a part of a daily religion in Christ. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. That's where I got the subtitle of the lesson, while it is called today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That means it can happen. I'd venture to say it may be even happening in some of your lives. Right now. Maybe even as I speak, you're not really listening. You probably hope that I get done soon. Because you're ready to get on with whatever else is in your life. You know what's happening? I'll tell you what's happening. This passage right here. You're being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's what's taking place. And one way we avoid that is through daily exhortation. You see, you may have needed that exhortation I just gave. It helps you say, oh yeah, I need to get back on track. That's right. Now, for some, we may only see them Sundays, right? Smos. And so they only get that exhortation once a week. Just once a week. If someone misses a Sunday, it may be every other Sunday. And there's some that maybe have been gone for multiple Sundays. You see how this passage says it's not even just Sunday, it's daily. Daily, while it is called today. That means we need to stay in touch. It may be through a phone call or you know, we've got text and social media today. I mentioned Facebook. There's a member here that can be contacted through snail mail and Facebook Messenger. And that's it, really. Unless you go over there and visit. Novel idea, right? You get in the car and go over and visit. Some form of communication. The method is left up to the choice of the believer. But some form of communication daily while it's called today. Now, you can't say, well, that's their problem. You see, no one's been calling me. No one's been checking up on me. That's their problem. Listen, don't ask what the church can do for me, but what can I do for the church? If you made that call, if you made that text, guess what? It's going to go both ways. It will. It'll encourage you. It means we need to be aware and have true relationships with one another. Does your association with people here end at that door? You see, this may be the exhortation then that you're missing. Who are you checking up on in the church? Because read that again. But exhort one another daily while it's called today. We'll be judged one day, and the book is going to be opened. Will we say we've done our best to fulfill this? To give someone, somewhere, some kind of exhortation. You know, even I could do better at this, I'll be honest. I'm usually trying to help the weak. A lot of these individuals that weren't here this week are not here this morning. And it's frustrating when you're trying to say the things that will help them, but they're not here. And so you're preaching to the choir a lot of times. Well, I got to go and preach that same lesson to them and bring that same message to them. They need strength and they're failing. But where I could do better is that sometimes I neglect those that are here all the time. And I may be unaware, but they're having a personal struggle in their own life too. It's harder to see. You see, an evil heart of unbelief can come even to those that are here. It can take place right under our nose. It's happened before, hasn't it? Where someone was here one day and then gone forever the next. It's happened before. And it can happen again. The word of the wise, I'll say this. The assembly is an opportunity to help you. It really is. When you miss it, you miss a houseful of individuals that are essentially like doctors and nurses that can attend to your spiritual problem and encourage you and pick you up. That's Hebrews 10:24. To stir each other up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So, wow, man, there is a lot we got to do daily. How can we do all this? Well, without the next point, without the last point, I'll be honest, you can't. There's only one way that you will do all of this. You see, you have to remember, and I have to remember, that the religion of Jesus Christ is a religion of sacrifice. And He's called upon us to make a daily sacrifice. You see, God gave His Son as a sacrifice. He sacrificed His Son. Jesus sacrificed His life. Guess what He asks for you and for me? Look in Luke, the 9th chapter. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Jesus said these chilling words in verse 23. They are bone chilling because they challenge all of us to the very core. He said to them all, no one was exempt from this. He said to them all, Luke 9:23, if anyone, that leaves nobody out, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, and here's our word, daily, and follow me. What does all that mean? Well, he says, deny yourself, that is, you sacrifice your will, your desires, and you make them captive to mine. Right? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? You sacrifice your will. That doesn't mean you can't have a plan for your life and you can't have a career. That's not what it's saying. He's saying that all your plans in life are wrapped around the core of your commitment to me. You deny yourself. You take up your cross daily. See, these benefits are a means to an end. And that is the selfless sacrificial service to our God. And his illustration of the cross was paramount in making that point. Because everybody in Jesus' day knew a cross was for one thing and one thing only. Death. You don't climb up it and climb down it. You climb up it and you stay. Death. Now, that means he understood there'd be no such thing as part-time employees if one signs up to the service of Christianity. Jesus saying, you pick up the instrument of your death and you follow me. You giving up your life and making it completely mine. That's what Paul meant in 1 Corinthians 15:31 when he says, I die daily. That means he was sacrificing his desires. 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. You're giving up yourself's desire. Something doesn't go your way. Hey, that's all right. That's okay. Because you know what? I signed up for sacrifice. Just like Jesus did. Maybe there is one habit in your life you know you need to break. You need to give it up. You died if you're a Christian. Break the habit. And let me tell you, start a new one in its place. Maybe one of these here. It's the only way you'll be successful in breaking it for good. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. It says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Listen to the next verse. For you died. Did you? For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Look, when Christ, who is our life, that is, He's everything to me. And His will is my will. I need to, but I want to. You see? Because I died. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. You know this song. I'll just read one of the stanzas to you. I quoted it just a second ago. I gave my life for thee. Did not Christ do that? My precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given to me? I left it all for thee. What hast thou left for me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought for me? We spoke of a bone-chilling passage. That ought to be a bone-chilling song. See, right there, this point right here will keep many, if not most, from obeying the Lord because the cost is too steep. It's your life. It's your life. But I venture to say the alternative is much, much more expensive. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 and 8 speaks of that alternative of those that didn't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it says? That He and His holy angels will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Oh, let me tell you, that's too expensive. Giving up my life for His. Well, comparison to eternity lost, it's a cheap price. It's a deal. It's a discount. It's a bargain. So I need to and I want to. You see, if you understand that, it's going to become easy. It won't be like brushing your teeth anymore where it's just, I have to. I need to, but I don't want to. It's I get to. I look forward to. I want to and I need to. You see, those are like strands within a rope that are so intertwined that you don't know where one ends and the other begins. They're together. And I believe too many have looked at religion as a dirty word. And so it's a Sunday-only thing for them. And that's as far as it goes. Very far from a daily religion. But as you've seen, those that are true worshipers, they want it to be a daily religion. And only you can make up your mind of how you're going to serve the Lord. I pray it'll be a heart that wants to belong to the Lord. So would you start a daily religion today if you haven't? By confessing your faith in Christ and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Realize when you're baptized, you are making a commitment. You're making a vow to the Lord that He'll be your master. And you'll serve Him all the days of your life. All the days of your life. You know, that's why I think Christians are not aimless or purposeless in life. Right? We have much to do daily. And it fills our hearts with joy as we develop our relationship in the Lord and with the Lord on a daily basis. Think about that. A daily prayer. I get to talk to Him daily. A daily study. He gets to talk to me through His Word. A daily commitment performed by vows. A daily exhortation, a daily sacrifice leads to a daily growth in the Lord. It can be yours. It should be yours. Think about that while together we stand and while we sing.
Bring Christ your
broken life so marred by sin. He will create a new